We just want to open this time with prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to come. We're nothing without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Lord, we ask you to come right now and invest in us, invest in your church here, Lord. Fill this place with your glory. Touch each and every one of us. May we never be the same after we walk into these doors and walk out this afternoon, Lord. May we all love one another. It says, Jesus said, he says, they shall know me because you love one another. We declare love over this house in the name of Jesus. We declare unity in the bond of peace. We declare the will of God. Let your kingdom come and your will be done today in this place as it is in heaven. We break down the walls of division, the walls of anger and strife and bitterness. No man shall come into this house angry, Lord. But, Lord, we pray that when they walk through those doors, the spirit of truth, the spirit of love, the spirit of joy and peace will hit their hearts and transform them, that they can be ministered to. Let this be a time of ministry. And Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite your angels to minister to the heirs of salvation. And God, we just thank you that we get to do this. Anoint our pastor to speak your word with boldness and confidence in the spirit of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you please stand, we're going to get started with worship. Thank you, Lord. God, that you are with us. God, that you are for us. Have your way, God, in each one of us. In Jesus' name.
Heaven. Thank you. Restore. And truly, great are you, Lord. And with all the saints and with all the angels, we lift up a shout of hallelujah to your name. The name most high, the name that is our salvation. He who has become our redemption. We glorify your name. We lift up your name. It is a name above all names, and there is no name in heaven, on earth, or under the earth by which we were saved. And we give you the glory and we give you the honor for that. We praise you. We praise you. And we cry with all the angels, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Most High. And we glorify you. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word dwelt with us. And now, through the Holy Spirit, Michael will bring forth that same Word. It will come forth in power. It will come forth in changing us. It will come forth in doing the very thing that you desire it to do. We say, let us not leave this place unchanged, but let us be closer to you with better revelation of who you are. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise forever and ever, even for another 1,000 generations. We glorify you. Hallelujah. And we, amen, amen. Gather now a bit and say hi to everybody, and we'll get back with this in a couple minutes.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Church on the Mountain. Awesome. Well, I got quiet all of a sudden. Cool. Wasn't worship amazing? Just love the team and so thankful for the team leading us into the presence of Jesus and such a good time. So, but yeah, I just want to welcome everybody. And if you're new, and if there's new people dropping their kids off, we love you and thank you for coming. Always, we try to say this, but every week, we always have prayer cards, we have connection cards, and we have serve cards. And those are in the entryway. And so if you want to get connected more, get some emails, know what's going on, fill out one of those. If you have a prayer request, fill out one of those. If you'd like to serve in some capacity in the church, whether it be kids church or whatever it is, whatever the Lord's moving on your heart, we have those cards. Just fill it out, drop it into the tithe box. There's two tithe boxes, and good stuff. Everybody good? Yay. Give your neighbor a high five. Awesome. Cool. Well, I also just want to remind, you got an announcement? High five. I just want to remind everybody, Thursdays we have our women's Bible study. There's one in Crowley going on at the Lodge, and there's another one in Bishop. So if you're a part of that, jump back in. If you want to jump in midway, you still could do that. It's been it's been an amazing study, so please do that. There's also youth group on Thursdays, prayer in the sanctuary Tuesday nights, so a lot of good stuff going on. Amen? Awesome. Hey, who likes to read? Any readers? I love reading, and I love giving away books that I like. And here's a good book by Pastor Eric Johnson, and it's called Christ in You. Guy was the first one. Christ in You. Good, just a solid book. I love listening to Eric. He's just really grounded, and him and his dad are just powerful people. So bless you. We got some other great books out there. Always check it out. There's some fun stuff. And yay, a couple more quick things, then we have a video. Do you have that video queued up for the conference? No, it's not there. So I will just tell you, and I will act out the video. We need a couple things. In wintertime in Crowley and Mammoth, how many know that the little friendly mice like to come in where it's warm? And so they are trying to get into our church, and sometimes they're able to because there's certain doors around the facility where there's a big crack on the bottom or like a space big enough for them to enter. And so we need somebody that is somewhat handy to help us out and to fill in the bottom so there's no more space where little friendly friends of the forest can come in anymore, right? So if you're willing or able to do that, that would be wonderful. There's also, we ordered this plastic, it's kind of like a big ball cage for our school, the Eastern Sierra Christian Academy, holds balls, bats, and different things. And it's in the back of the building, and we just need to put it together. So if you could help with either one of those things, and if that's something that you like to do, just talk to me after service, and we'll get rolling on that. Awesome. And last thing, and I'll do this because we don't have a video, but we have the EXO Marriage Conference, and there's a table right in the back there. You can check that out. This is the last day to sign up, and so it's just a phenomenal time. It's going to go from 9 o'clock till 2 o'clock on next Saturday. There's breakfast and lunch provided, and there's childcare. So it's just a conference that is streaming from Gateway Church in Texas, and it's just some phenomenal speakers. It's going to really bless you. So I'd encourage you, please come, be a part of that. But this is the last day to sign up. So if you want to sign up, it's back there. And we are this year we're partnering with Calvary Baptist and Bishop, and so it's going to be at their facility down there, and they got a bunch of people signing up. We have some people sign up, so it's going to be a great time. So, but if you wanted to go or you want somebody to go, Today's the last day. Yay. Everybody good? Why don't you grab your neighbor's hand? You're like, flu season. Squirt some sanitizer on there. Why don't you grab that hand? Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for every person in this room. I thank you, God, for life that is released in the body, for the anointing of God that is in this house. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would touch every individual in Church of the Mountain today. I pray, God, that you would touch every person in this room, where they're at, God, in the season that they're in right now. God, minister to their hearts, minister to their families, minister to them personally, individually, God, in their families, in their business. God, minister to those that are watching online and listening. God, we pray for the hand of the Lord to be upon us today. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be welcome here, that you would minister hope today, minister life today like only you can. We submit to you, as it says in James, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And so we submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we resist the enemy. We resist temptation. We resist fear. And it must go now in the mighty name of Jesus. And so God, be with us today. Wash over us. Wash us with your word, Holy Spirit. And I pray you would anoint this message in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. If you have a Bible or an iPhone or a tablet or an iPad, I mean, there's like you should have something. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And we're jumping back into this series that we've been doing called Elijah. Say Elijah. And what I felt was appropriate to title, you could take the announcements off now. What I felt was appropriate to call this was Still Standing. Say Still Standing. I mean, you know that Elijah went through a lot of stuff. Went through a lot of seasons. He went through a lot of junk. He went through a lot of drama. But at the end of the day, he was still standing. And we talked about in the first week, we talked about how the Lord had used him to call and to prophesy that there was going to be a drought in the land. And the reason he did this is because, like, for over 200 years, the people began to worship Baal. They were worshiping Asherah. And there was all these false gods and just all kinds of evil that was going on in the land. And it was breaking the heart of God. And, you know, we know in biblical times and even in our times today that rain represents blessing. And so where there's no rain, there's no crops, there's no water for the animals. And so God says, I'm not going to bless this land anymore because there's so much evil, there's so much idol worship. And so Elijah speaks to that. He says, it's not going to rain. And guess what? It doesn't rain for 3.5 years. And then the Lord says, I want you to go into hiding. So he takes him into a cave season. How many have ever been in a cave season? Hallelujah. So he takes him into a cave season and he teaches them a lot. He takes them into this process, and then because of the process, the Lord is able to use him in a powerful way in the woman with the son. She was about to die. He was about to die. They both were about to die, eating their last meal, and Elijah comes. Amazing miracle happens, and the boy ends up dying. He gets raised from the dead. Powerful stuff is going on in these chapters, and then last week we talked about how the big showdown, it was the big Wild Wild West, John Wayne movie, if you will. It was Elijah versus the 450 false prophets, and he tells them, he kind of mocks them. Remember, he said, "Okay, you do this, and I'll do this, and you call out to your God, and I'll call out to my God." And they begin to call out to Baal, and nothing's happening, and nothing's going on. And he's like, "What's going on? Is he busy? Is he on a trip? Is he on the toilet? You know what's." What's going on with Baal, you know? And then he prays this simple prayer. And the fire of God comes down and consumes the sacrifice. Hallelujah. And then he says, I mean, it was pretty intense. What does he say? He says, and Elijah says to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. Seize them. And he brought them down to Brook Kishron, and they were executed there. Youch. But today, I want to talk about something super powerful in the chapter 18 as well. And we're going to read a few verses, and we'll get into this. It says, 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 41. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up, and he looked, and he said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and the wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away, and he went to Jezreel. And then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and girded himself his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab and to the entrance of Jezreel. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. And I think before we really get a good understanding of that, I was reminded of a great verse in the book of James. In the book of James, in chapter 5, I think this really will help tie everything together. And this is kind of what I want to talk about today. But in the book of James, it says, chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, confess your trespasses to one another that you would be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and for 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Amen. I love that James is writing here. He's talking about confessing your trespasses. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about faith. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And to James, the one thing that he thinks of, he's like, how can I illustrate this point the best? How can I like just make these guys truly understand this, remember this? He said, Elijah. I'm going to talk about Elijah. I'm going to remind them of one of our forefathers, Elijah. Because Elijah was a praying man. Elijah was a believing man. And so he says, we have to be a people that have an effective, fervent prayer life. And then he begins to talk about Elijah. And so what I would like to talk about quickly today is four qualities of effective, fervent prayer. Say four qualities of effective, fervent prayer. Come on, somebody. All right. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Number one is found in verse 42. It says, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down, and he put his face between his knees. I believe the very first quality and thing that we need to be clothed in, if you will, is humility. I think if we're going to have powerful prayer lives, if we're going to be powerful individuals, we have to be clothed in humility. It says, I'm going to skip around a little bit. I have a couple verses, but in James as well, it says in chapter 4, how many love James? It says, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5, Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Don't you just love that? And see, there's a difference between what we read as biblical humility and false humility. Because there's a false humility. And Jesus addressed that with the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees were like, they did everything for show. And so it's like, I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm giving. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And Jesus is like, no, like, it's not a scene. It's not so everybody can see. It's about your heart. You know, biblical humility is about meekness. That's what it says in the dictionary. It's about meekness. It's about absence of self. It's realizing that we are disciples, and disciples are never above the teacher.
Amen.
A great quote from E.M. Bounds, who is an amazing man of God, and he wrote incredible books, one on prayer. But he says this: that which brings the praying soul near to God is humility of heart. That which gives wings to prayer is lowliness of mind. Pride, self-esteem, self-praise effectually shut the door to prayer. He who would come to God must approach the Lord with self hidden from his eyes. Humility is a rare Christian grace of great price in the courts of heaven, entering into and being an inseparable condition of effectual praying. It gives access to God when other qualities fail. Its full portrait is found only in the Lord Jesus. Our prayers must be set low before they can rise high. Amen. E.M. Bounds. And so there's something about humility. There's something about being clothed in humility. And you're like, what do you mean? Why? How do you get that from verse 42? Well, it says that he realized this situation was bigger than he was. It's now been like there's been a drought for 3.5 years. He realized that, okay, I spoke something and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I just prayed a little bit ago and fire came from heaven. I am feeling like a little mouse right now. Like, I don't have the power to do this. It is only him. And so I'm going to climb myself up on this mountain. I need to be alone for a little bit. And I'm just going to put my head between my knees. I feel like it is a physical act of what's going on in his heart. He's getting low. He's coming to a position that's saying, I can't do this on my own. I don't know what to do without you, Lord. I can't make it rain. I can't snap my fingers and clap my hands and make rain come. It's you or bust, Lord.
Amen.
And so he puts his head between his knees and he's on the mountain by himself. There's no show. There's nobody. It's Elijah by himself. And it's a crazy time to live in because Jezebel is slaughtering the prophets. She's killing all of the Yahweh worshippers. She's eradicating all those like Elijah. And she wants Elijah's head. And so it's like, what do I do? I'm gonna get alone. I'm going to stick my head between my legs. I'm going to say, God, where are you? God, I need you. Father, help. And I want to give you just 4 quick things on that. I mean, I have. It's a sermon within a sermon. So just deal with it for just a moment. But how to cultivate humility in prayer. How to cultivate humility even in our life, in a day-to-day basis. And here's 4 quick things, real quick. I believe having a worshiping heart. A worshiping heart. Let me just give you all 4 and then we'll talk about it briefly. Having a worshiping heart, having a grateful heart. Somebody say amen. Having an abandoned heart. Not just worshiping here and there, but just totally abandoned to the Father and His will. And having a servant's heart. Why are these things so crucially important? Because it gets our eyes off of ourself. It gets our eyes off ourselves when we're praying. It gets our eyes off ourselves when we're living. You know, serving is so powerful because it reminds us of what Jesus was doing. Jesus was washing feet. He was getting low. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to go low. There's something about having a servant's heart, an abandoned heart, a grateful heart. You know, when you just begin to say, God, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what you've done in my life. I'm so grateful for what you did, you know, 5 years ago. I'm so grateful. Just don't stop being grateful. Gratefulness, because you're being grateful for what he has done. And it brings us back into this place of humility. A worshiping heart, worshiping. We're getting our eyes off of self. Lord, I worship you. I give you all the glory. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You are the one that put the stars in the sky. Just, I worship you. And it kind of brings everything back into right perspective. Amen? Elijah was clothed in humility. If we want to be people, as James says, with fervent, effectual, powerful prayers, we have to be clothed in humility. Not pride. Pride doesn't... God says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Number two. Are you tracking with me? It says, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And so he went up and he looked and he said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. So I believe effective, fervent prayers are specific prayers. Specific. We've got to be specific in our prayer life. Amen. What does it say again in James? I got some James coming at you. James 4:2 says, you lust and you do not have, you murder and you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Elijah recognized there was a problem. There's no rain. People are dying. And so what does he say? God, just sprinkle a little bit of blessing on this place. You know, God, would you bless this place? No, he gets very specific. God, send rain. You got to get specific. Like, because sometimes we can like shotgun with all these prayers. But unless we're like dialed in, you know, we won't know if our prayers are being answered. Unless you begin to get specific and you begin to dial in and you have a target, you have a bullseye, you know where you're going. Elijah knew what he was praying for. He knew where the target was. You know, when we were in Los Angeles and with our daughter and you know, she was sick and all the stuff was going on with her. And I remember when she was going through treatment, they told us a bunch of stuff. You know, they just said, well, you know, she's probably going to be, the first thing, she's going to be deaf or very hard of hearing because of the chemotherapy. And you know, Heather, it didn't sit right with Heather or me, but Heather has she's a speech therapist, so she studied the ears. She knows everything about the ears, and so she began to pray very specifically over the ears and begin to call things by name and just dial in. And no, I'm praying over that ear. I'm praying over the inner ear. I'm praying over all these names. And then the report changed. And then they say, well, she's going to have problems walking. And we're like, no, I don't think so. And so we begin to pray very specific for her legs. And yes, there was a cancer problem, but we were already praying for the cancer. But now we had to be specific for the other things going on. And there was like three or four different things. And so we just got specific. We got intentional. And the Lord touched her in every single way. Amen. Intentional. Specific. Number three. Effectual, fervent prayers. I'm going fast. Effectual, fervent prayers are persistent prayers. Say persistent. Verse 43. It says, and he said to his servant, go up now. This is the same verse, but you could see it, both of these apply. So he went up, he looked, he said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. This is powerful to me because how many times do we pray, do I pray for something once? Maybe it doesn't happen. And do we give up? Sometimes we do. But think about this. He's not hearing anything. He's not seeing anything. And think about what the enemy must have been doing to Elijah. You see, because Elijah was just mocking the false prophets. He was just mocking them. He's like, oh, where's your God? Nobody's hearing you. Oh, is he in the bathroom? Is he on vacation? He's totally mocking these false prophets because nothing's happening. They're hearing nothing. They're seeing nothing. And now Elijah is hearing nothing and seeing nothing. And I'm sure the enemy's like, you're a false prophet. You blew it. You missed it. I can't prove that, but I'm giving you the timeline here. But there was persistence. You know, I think sometimes in our life we begin to stop praying for things too quickly.
Yes.
We haven't seen the breakthrough in our marriage, and so I'm just going to stop. I haven't seen the results that I want to see in my job or a new job that I want, and so I'm just going to quit praying. I'm not seeing the breakthrough in that family member that I want to be saved, and so I'm going to quit praying because I prayed once and it didn't work. But there is power in persistence. And a lot of, you know, old timers in the faith from the 1800s, 1700s, early 1900s really understood this. Like they called it praying through. And they wouldn't stop praying until something happened. Until there was a shift in their spirit or a shift in the natural. And so I'm going to pray this thing through. I'm going to be persistent. I'm not going to give up on this. I'm going to have some bulldog faith, some pit bull faith. Amen. I'm going to latch onto this thing. I'm not going to give up until something begins to shift and shake. Amen. And again, in James, it says, confess your trespasses to one another that you would be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. Persistent. You know, it would have been easy for Elijah to get frustrated. It would have been easy for him just to kind of come under the battle of what's going on in the land. There's a lot of demonic oppression. There's a wicked queen that is killing people. And he could have just been like, you know what? I'm just going to like go back to that little cave. Like, I don't need this. I don't need to be attacked by Ahab. I don't need this pressure right now. I'm gonna bolt. You know, he could have easily said that. And it would have been fine, and it would have been understandable. We would have read that in the Bible and been like, eh, what? I get it, you know. But he didn't do that. Like, he stayed persistent. And so I just believe that the Lord is wanting us to have some persistence in our prayer life. And so what is it that you're praying for today? Is it your finances? Is it a family member? Is it your own emotional state? Is it healing for your body? Healing for a loved one? Salvation for a loved one? Like, what is that thing? Somebody in your job that's just terrorizing you. Like, you know, sometimes we have people in our workplaces that are just, I mean, they're just awful. And they treat us like garbage. Have you ever been around a person like that? And you're like, I prayed that God will remove them and nothing's happening. You know, I prayed this and I prayed that. But like, don't just be persistent. Be specific. Be clothed in humility. Be specific and be persistent. Say humility. Specific, persistent. Hallelujah. Number four, effective prayers are expectant prayers. 44 through 46. Then it came to pass in the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And so he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded himself up, and he ran ahead of Ahab. Hallelujah. I love this for so many reasons. Think about this story real quick. So here's Elijah, and nothing's happening. He prays. The servant goes out, and nothing happens. The servant goes out again, and 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, and then they see something. But I want to draw your attention to this. It says, Elijah says, "Go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. Go again. Go again." And then he said, the guy's like, "Okay, I see something." He's like, "Okay, what do you see?" "I see a thunderous monsoon." I see tropic thunder. Like, this is going to like wipe us out. This is intense. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, "I see something the size of a man's fist, a cloud, a little cloud in the distance over the sea, the size of a man's fist." And Elijah's like, "It's on." Like, "It's on." Like, come on. He didn't have to like turn on the news channel or like check his weather app. Like, he knew something huge was happening. That is called expectant faith. That's called expectant prayers. I mean, how many of us would be like, well, cool, that's great that it's the size of a fist. Come back when it's the size of a chariot. You know, come back when it's the size of a horse. You know, a size of a fist. Like, how many things are happening in our life where there's a little bit of breakthrough, but it's not gigantic breakthrough, and so we just say, it's not big enough. You know, it's... Maybe you're believing for just amazing breakthrough in your marriage or your relationship, and nothing's happening, and hearts are not seeing eye to eye. And then one day she texts you some hard eyes. You know, that's the size of a fist. That's, you know, come on, that's a cloud the size of a man's fist. That's breakthrough right there. And you gotta believe. You gotta lean into that thing. Your business is falling apart. Bankrupt, whatever's going on, and you get a new job and you get a new client. That's the size of a man's fist. That's a cloud the size of a man's fist. There's all these things that are happening around us, but we often just say, that's not God, because God only does the big, big, big. But he's just looking for us to believe, believe, believe. He's just looking for us to believe when it's just in the distance. Can we be persistent when it's in the distance? Can we be specific when it's in the distance? Can we be humble when it's in the distance? And can we still be expectant when it's in the distance? I want to be a man that has expectant faith. And this was the whole point that James was trying to get across. Because everybody knew this. They knew that... that Elijah prayed and it stopped raining. They knew that he prayed and fire came from heaven. They knew that he prayed again and rain came. And so he's trying to get this point across to the new covenant believers. He's writing this letter and he's saying, "I want you to have effectual, fervent prayer. I want you to be a people of prayer, but you have to do as Elijah did." And Elijah put on humility. Elijah prayed specific prayers, he prayed persistent prayers, and he had expectancy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it says, "And so it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." And I just love this because it's like he had faith to believe when it was just little. He had faith to believe when it was the size of a mustard seed. You know, it's easy to believe when everything's going right, when the check's in the mail, but he had faith to believe when it was just in the distance. And he says, just, he's like, you better tell Ahab, like, it's coming. Like, there, just pack up the bags, get rolling, run as fast as you can because we're going to be overtaken. I bet his servant's like, what? I just said there's a tiny little cloud. Like, I didn't feel a raindrop. I didn't feel anything. Like, Elijah, what are you smoking up on the top of this mountain? Like, you're taking something up here because this is not reality. And he's like, no, go down, tell Ahab something is coming now. Faith is now. Faith is action. Fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Come on. And it does. And so he has faith that it's going to rain. He has belief that it's going to rain. And what happens? It rains. It begins to rain like crazy. And the sky fills with black, dark clouds, and it begins to rain, and Ahab's like, oh gosh, I'm out of here. Whew, and he's way ahead of Elijah. And Elijah, this is awesome, says he girds up his loins, and he begins to run. And here's Elijah, or Ahab in his chariot, and Elijah just comes running by. He like pulls a Forrest Gump on him, you know, it's just like, he was running, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord was totally on him. And he runs right past him. Ahab's probably like, what the, get back here. You know, it's just, I just love this. I love when the wind of the Lord is on you. When the Spirit of the Lord is on you, you can do powerful things. Amen. I want us to pray. I felt like it was important to pray. Patrick, can you come up here if you're in the facility. She can't talk about prayer and then not pray. Somebody grab him. I don't know where he's at. Why don't you turn to your neighbor? I believe the Lord wants us to be a people of fervent, effectual prayer. Amen. I believe the Lord wants us to be a people that have prayers that are being answered. Testimonies, new testimonies. And testimonies come when we risk. Yeah. Testimonies begin to come in our life when we begin to step out. You know, I was talking to somebody just the other day and it was Tom Long, you know, and I bumped into him and I was talking to him and he just said something that was so moving and gripping. And he just said, I'm realizing that I had a lot of testimonies 20 years ago. And I had a lot of testimonies 15 years ago. He said, but I just started praying and God said, where's your testimonies today? And I said, wow. He said, I want to have skin in the game today. Yeah. I don't want to keep talking about my testimonies and all of my adventures from yesterday, all the stuff I built yesterday. I want to build something today. I want to empower a generation today. I want to affect the next generation today. And I was like, man, that is good. That is good stuff. Like, we need testimonies today. And the way we're going to have testimonies is we begin to take a risk. The way we're going to see people's bodies get healed is we begin to take a risk. The way we're going to see people's relationships stored is we begin to take a risk. And we say, can I pray for you? And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And when we ourselves are clothed in humility, when we're specific for what we're praying for, when we're persistent, we don't give up, and when we are expecting. And then something begins to shake and we begin to say, man, I know you're going through this, but I can see something in the distance. I can see something on the horizon for your life. I know it feels like your marriage is falling apart right now, but I see a cloud in the distance. I see mercy just coming over your house. I see healing coming over your house. It might be small and it might be in the distance, but I can see it. I want you to turn to that person, somebody next to you right now. And I want you to be vulnerable for just a moment. Maybe and just pray for something for each other. And you can get in groups of three if you don't have somebody around you. But the Bible is truth. And God is not a liar. And so if He said that our prayers would avail much, they will. And so maybe you need breakthrough today. Maybe you've been dealing with fear. Maybe there's somebody in here, you've been dealing with anxiety. You've been dealing with panic attacks. You're financially just stressed out of your mind. You don't know what to do. I want you to link up with somebody right now. Come on, just pray with expectancy for that person. Whatever it is, pray for a miracle. Whether it's a financial miracle, whether it's a loved one that needs to be saved. Healing. Breakthrough. Come on, we are the children of the Most High God. And James wrote to the disciples. James wrote to the disciples. He said, you can pray like Elijah because he was a man with a nature like ours. He was not a God. He was a man with a nature like ours. And he simply believed. He simply trusted in Jehovah God, in Yahweh. And so I want you just to believe with faith and with expectancy right now. And I believe there are going to be miracles. There are going to be testimonies because we are going to take a risk today in the name of Jesus. So for two more minutes, just pray for that individual. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for prayers that avail much. And Jay just pointed out a really good point to me. I just want to speak this over you. And it says in verse 41, go up, eat, and drink. This is the Lord speaking to Elijah speaking to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Elijah heard it before the servant saw it. He heard it before anybody saw it. And so he had faith when he couldn't see anything because he heard something. And the way we're going to hear is when we begin to get in the quiet place. We begin to get away with the Lord. We begin to get into the Word of God, and we begin to hear again. We begin to listen again to what He's speaking to us. And it might sound contrary. It might sound look contrary to than what is happening in the natural. But you got to hear. Hear what the Lord is saying. Hear what the Lord is saying over your family, over this new season for your life, over the individuals that you're praying for. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for grace. We thank you for faith being released in this room. God, we thank you for faith, even the gift of faith, God. Let the gift of faith rest on individuals in this room. That they would pray for things that are bigger than themselves. They would pray for mountains to move and seas to split in the mighty name of Jesus. I just want to pray, I just want to sing a song. I feel that the song, You Split the Seas, so I could walk right through it. Can you play that song? Why don't you just stand with me? I want to just sing this song as a declaration, a prophetic declaration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, when we pray with desperation, because we know that God hears us, that He is faithful in everything. He knows everything about us, and Jesus has done everything for us to live a full, perfect life on this earth. You know, when you ask Him, He may say to you, He may expect something from you. He may say, well, daughter, I understand. I hear your word. And I want to answer your prayer. But I want you to go down the street and talk to your neighbor. And I want you to tell him about me. I want you to get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on me. Because I'm the answer. I want you to get away from that fear that the enemy's been pushing on your mind. Every time you pray, you are praying, and I hear your prayers, but you're walking in fear. You go right back into that place. And today there's going to be a breaking to where we're going to trust him beyond our natural trusting power. It says, trust him and lean not under your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path.
Amen.
Trust. That's faith. That's faith. That's the faith that says, no matter what it looks like right now, that cloud's coming over the horizon. I hear the rain. Now, I had a time in my life where I was desperate and didn't have, we were in the middle of a mess financially and I was in business. And I gave a big offering. Now, God, that was what God asked me to do. I'm not telling you God's asking you to give a big offering. But he's going to ask you something that may be unusual to you. Because he doesn't want you to believe in yourself. He wants you to believe in him. But he asked me to give this offering. And I was in the middle of this big job. And we had all these roofs tore off. And I had this dream in the middle of the night. And I saw this snow coming down and rain, and it was going through the top of the building and saturating the whole building. And I got up and I told my guys, I said, hey, listen, we got to get this thing covered up. If we don't get it covered up, we're going to have a mess. And they said, oh, there's no way. It's supposed to be clear for the next 2 weeks. I said, get it done. Because something is going to happen. And when the next day, we covered that whole thing up, and the day after that it poured and it rained. And God, if you do something unusual for him, he will do things beyond what you could ever conceive or think. So I want you to, the thing that you hear may seem impossible in your own mind, but I want you to hear what God is saying. He's not going to tell you to do something stupid. But he's going to tell you to do something that makes sense, but it's impossible for you to do. I'm just telling you right now, God is faithful and he is a miracle-working God. But until we step into that miracle-working place, which is unusual and not what we could confirm in our mind can be done through us. But it can, because all things are possible for those who believe. And I'm telling you right now, Mike prayed for a gift of faith. That's beyond just regular faith. That's a breaking the yoke faith. That's a breaking the walls down faith. That's beginning to proclamate to your family and to your loved ones. This is our day in the Lord. This is not somebody else's day. This is our day. This is the day of financial blessing. This is the day of healing. This is the day of deliverance. This is the day of hope. God can, there's something going on here. This is big stuff. Let's go beyond our natural self into the heavenlies where all things are possible. Where he's real and he's right and he's always there for us. I'm telling you right now, there's something going on in here that you people have been chosen to be the foundation for something to come that's greater than we could ever conceive or think. I believe in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be clothed in humility. Pray specific prayers. Pray persistent prayers. And have an expectancy that God is going to move. So I just would challenge us. I know we're all praying for different people, but if there's somebody that you're praying for, if there's somebody that you have been believing for a miracle, I would just encourage you, don't stop praying. If there's somebody that has been dealing with some kind of sickness, and I mean, there's people from our own body here that are fighting terminal diseases, and they need a lifeline. And they need somebody to send a text and to send a call and to just say, I still believe. I still see hope. I still see God. I still see a cloud the size of a man's fist. Something is happening. We've got to pray. We've got to reach out to those that are going through traumatic things and going through loss of loved ones. And we need to reach out. We need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And when we do that, that the persistence begins to move things in other people's lives. So I just pray we would be a people like that. So Father, I just thank you for the word today. I thank you for grace in this house and faith in this house. And that we are a people of great faith. And we will believe you just as Elijah believed you. We'll pray when everything is contrary. We will listen when everything is contrary. We will speak when things are contrary. We will declare and we will expect because you're an awesome God. We love you. We worship you, holy God. We worship you, mighty God. God, bless these people today as they go. I pray, God, help us to be a people that take great risks for you. Day to day, day in, day out, every night, I pray we would have new testimonies, God. New testimonies in this season, 2020. Let it be a season of taking new ground. Let it be a season of new testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody who agreed with me said, amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. If you need prayer, please come forward. Otherwise, you're free to go. Enjoy this amazing day. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Love you guys. The splendor of the King.